Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ishtaputi namam evam. Yoyavyeta samahita. Labhate mayi sat bhaktim. Matsmiti sarasevaya. Ishtaputi namam evam. Yoyavyeta samahita. Labhate mayi sat bhaktim. Matsmiti sarasevaya. Ishtaputena mamevam. Yoyajita samahita. Labhate mayi sat bhaktim. Matsmiti sarasevaya.
Ishta.
Ishta.
By sacrificial performances,
by
for one's own benefit, purtena, and pious works, for the benefit of others, such as being wealth, mam,
me,
evam,
thus,
ya, one works, one who. Yajeta, worships,
samahita,
with mind fixed on me.
Labhate,
such a person obtains,
mayi,
in me,
sat bhaktim,
unflinching devotional service,
matsmriti,
realized knowledge of me,
sadhu,
with all superior qualities,
sevaya,
by service.
Service.
Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Translation: one who has executed sacrificial performances and pious works for my satisfaction, and who thus worships me with fixed attention, obtains unflinching devotional service unto me. By the excellent quality of his service, such a worshipper obtains realized knowledge of me. Purport. The word Ishta Purutina, which means sacrificial performances and pious works, does not indicate deviation from the pure devotional service of the Lord. Lord Krishna, or Vishnu, is called Yajna, or the Lord of Sacrifice. And in Bhagavad Gita 5.29, Lord Krishna says, Bhuktram Yajna Tapasam. I am the actual enjoyer of all sacrifice. The highest sacrifice is to chant the holy names of the Lord, and by taking shelter of the Lord's names, one will acquire unflinching devotion and realized knowledge of the Absolute Truth. A realized devotee is very attentive to his devotional service, taking it as his life and soul. He keeps himself fit for devotional service by constantly worshipping and glorifying the lotus feet of the spiritual master and the supreme personality of Godhead. Such Harinam, Kirtan, and Guru Puja are the only practical methods by which one can achieve pure devotional service. When Hari Kirtan is expanded, it is called Krishna Sankirtan. One should not dry up performing unauthorized austerities or sacrifices. Rather, one should engage with all enthusiasm in the great sacrifice of Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which enables one to easily achieve the highest perfection of human life. Translation again. One who has executed sacrificial performances and pious works for my satisfaction, and who thus worships me with fixed attention, obtains unflinching devotional service unto me. By the excellent quality of his service, such a worshipper obtains realized knowledge of me.
Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Shri Sadi Guru Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
So this is dealing with sacrifice. And it was mentioned that one of Krishna's names is Yajna, of sacrifice itself. So sacrifice means to accept the supremacy of the Lord and thereby perform acts by which the Lord may be satisfied in all respects. So the goal of sacrifice is to actually please the Lord, nothing else. And we can see that often if people perform sacrifices, it is not really the goal of it. Like even in material life, people perform so many sacrifices. They get up early and work all day. Srila Prabhupada was mentioning this example of this businessman who is like earning millions of dollars, but all he has is three times a day a couple of toast and a coffee. So this is not really what is meant with sacrifice in that situation. Well, this is a sacrifice, but it's not the sacrifice for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. So when we accept the supremacy of the Lord and perform acts to please Him, that basically means that we do what the Lord wants. This is how we please a person. So Krishna is very clear about what He wants, and He very clearly explains this in all the scriptures. And so when we look now in different kinds of sacrifices, it was said that in this age the supreme sacrifice is Krishna Sankirtanam. So in different ages we have different types of sacrifices which are suitable for that particular circumstances and where the people are capable of performing them. So in Satya Yuga we have, for example, meditation. Treta Yuga is sacrifices, like ritualistic sacrifices, and Dwapara Yuga is the deity worship. So these things are not very easily performed in our days. You know, we have people coming, you know, to urban yoga, and they do yoga, and they have absolutely no idea what yoga is meant for and how yoga has to be performed. Nor would they be able to do anything like that. So Shakti was saying the other day that people can't even sit straight for 5 minutes. So these different methods were enunciated by the Lord for different ages, and to follow them is to perform dharma. And when we please Krishna in that way, we will be elevated. If you don't follow His principles, if you don't follow His systems, we're going to be degraded. So in Kali Yuga, in our age, the situation is very difficult because we can't really do anything of it. We don't have the power. We first of all don't have a lifespan, and our mind is so disturbed. We can't concentrate for long. We are very weak, so it is for us to stand on one leg for 20 years, or like the Prachetas, they were for 10,000 years performing austerities under the ocean. Even if we would be able to live under the ocean, who's going to do it? So these things are not really practical. For example, it's deity worship. You know, we do deity worship, but Srila Prabhupada was saying at one stage, if he would tell us all the rules and regulations for deity worship, we would faint. You're doing so many mistakes. We can't pronounce the mantra properly. You know, our mind is going about what we need to do today when we do the deity worship. So we perform so many offenses. We perform deity worship, but the standard in the previous yugas and Dwapara Yuga was a completely different one, as well as for Treta Yuga. You know, if you look, for example, you go to a jewelry shop, and there's this tiny little piece of golden earring. And it's so expensive. Like you have like a little earring or whatever, it's like $40-$50 or whatever. So like who has the wealth? There's no wealth anymore in Kali Yuga. So all these things, they are not applicable for Kali Yuga. And when we, for example, in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the situation is very nicely presented by the sages at Naimisharanya. The sages at Naimisharanya came together to perform a 1,000 years enduring sacrifices because they could foresee the degradation which Kali Yuga will bring about. So for the benefit of human society, they were starting this humongous sacrifice to make the atmosphere auspicious. And just before Sukadev Goswami enters the arena, before he starts speaking, they approach him and they're saying two verses to him which are very beautiful. They're saying, "Please, therefore, being blessed with many years, explain to us in an easily understandable way what you have ascertained to be the absolute and ultimate good for the people in general. O learned one, in this iron age of Kali, men have but short lives. They are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed." So this is the situation in which we are now, and you know, this is what we have to deal with. This is the degradation which has been brought about by the influence of the age of Kali, and this is, you know, what we have to work with somehow, in ourselves and in everybody else. So Srila Prabhupada explains very elaborately in the purport how people have short lives. We have a maximum duration of life from 100 years, and it's not because of poor nutrition or whatever, it's because of being so irregulated. And the Bhagavad Gita says one who is regulated in the habits of eating, sleeping, recreation and work can mitigate all material pangs by practicing the yoga system. So in these days, nobody is regulated anymore. And if you go around, if you see on Swanson Street, people basically snack all day long. They don't really have any meals. And what they eat is, if you queue in a supermarket, you can look what people are buying. You know, they buy white bread, meat, fizzy, like Coca-Cola and stuff like that. And sometimes you find like a vegetable in the basket. But that's pretty much it. And it's very rare. So, and it's not just that what they eat is unregulated in the sense that they kind of eat all the time or eat to unregulated times, but it's also an over-desire to indulge in sense gratification. That means people eat far too much. People sleep far too much. What to speak of sex life and all these other degradation things. People gamble, people indulge in drinking. It's just, everything is just meant to stuff up the senses. But this has nothing to do with maintenance of the body. If it's an overindulgence, you know, obviously it's going to deteriorate the body. For example, if you drive a car and you constantly are on the accelerator, and then you always press very hard the brakes, I mean, what do you expect? How long will your car live? So this is how people live these days. Srila Prabhupada said, "The artificial standard of life drain men's life's energy." So laziness refers to, you know, obviously people are lazy in general, but it specifically refers to practicing spiritual life. This is the laziness. People don't really care. They can't really get themselves going to, even though they might have a desire for, you know, starting to practice spiritual life, then it's very difficult for them to follow the principles. There are many people, when they hear what we're doing, they say, "Oh, I can't do it." Straight away, "No, can't do it." And even though they might have a desire, but then there's so much cheating going on in the age of Kali. They might have some kind of desire, but then they go, like the market is so broad, there's everything on there. And there's hardly anything which is genuine. So the educational work is also degraded. And disturbed because of so many things to do. There's just so much things you can do in your life and you don't really know what to do. So, for example, you have cricket, football, movies, Crown Casino, clubbing, so many things, and people are so disturbed because they want to go from one thing to another just to stimulate themselves. And in the age of Kali also, there are so many unauthorized religions. There are so many invented religions which are not based on any Shastra, which are just a concoction of imperfect men. And many sinful activities are performed in that way. Devamrita Swami was one time giving this it's kind of funny example. He was invited by this person who's practicing some kind of spirituality, and he was invited to their kind of farm. And this man was showing Devamrita Swami all around and telling him how everything is recycled or ecological, and you know, like from toilet paper over cleaning materials over everything. And Devamrita Swami, after a little while, actually found out what this place was all about, because he got some obvious invitations from some of the ladies. And so he was asking the person who was inviting him to what is that, and he was saying, well, we have one principle here, is that if somebody has a desire, then you can't reject that person. So Devamrita Swami was saying, oh, you know, that's all good and fair, but maybe not with me. And also, an interesting thing is, he was saying, if everything is so natural here, where are the children? And he's saying, you must use some unnatural means. He said, no, we're not going to do that. Oh, the women are sterilized here. So this is like, you know, they so-called practice some kind of spirituality. They think themselves very spiritual, but it's just cheating and total concocted. And we find so many things of it. Like, you know, we look at Sai Baba, or this, how is this Amma, is she called, this hugging guru, Amma. So there's so much, and people believe it. They actually do believe it. Like, how many followers of Sai Baba? So many. It's ridiculous. Another aspect of the age of Kali is that the Varnashram system is deteriorated at the root. So the whole Varnashram system is not functioning. And it starts from Brahmacharya. So the Brahmacharya is not practiced anymore, so it can't produce any proper grihasthas. That's once, if you haven't learned sense control, how can you enter into household life properly? You don't have the foundation for it. And what to speak of vanaprastha and sannyas. So it doesn't function either. And in our society now, sense gratification is the standard. It's all about it. Like, if you really think about it, like, money rules and sex rules, and it's all about these. It's all about prestige. All about if you're great, whatever means you've attained it. You know, if you have a lot of money, or if you're a movie star, like if you look at people who are famous these days, what do they actually have achieved? Like, what is the greatness of those people who are famous? They might have a pretty face, and they might have a good voice, or some good movements, or, you know, whatever. But there's nothing of value. These people actually can't offer it nothing. You know, and we see so many people like who were famous, like, you know, Jimi Hendrix or Jim Morrison, or who else do we have? Like Michael Jackson, you know, like Michael Jackson, like, just look at the sad end they've taken. How horrible, how abominable. Like, this is how they died. This is, you know, this is where their life led them. And people have been worshipping them. Much more than they worship God. So that's in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's described how Kali actually entered. And it's, does anybody know how Kali actually first entered into the world? It was when Maharaj Parikshit was traveling the earth, and he became very, very thirsty. And he saw this hermitage of this great sage, and he wanted to go there and to ask for something to drink. And he entered, and the sage was in trance. He was deep in meditation, and therefore he didn't notice that Maharaj Parikshit actually entered. And therefore he didn't receive him properly. He didn't offer him any sitting place. He didn't offer him anything to drink. And the king became very angry about that neglect. And actually it's described that this anger was like with the four Kumaras. This anger was induced for Krishna to be able to perform his pastimes, because Maharaj Parikshit was far of not being properly received. So, but in that circumstance, Krishna inspired him to become angry, and he looked aside and he found a dead snake lying on the ground, and he put it around the sage's neck. And then he left. So the son of the sage, Sringi, he got to know about this incident. And he was playing with all those playmates. And it's described that Sringi, because of his Brahminical background, was very powerful, even though just a little immature boy. But he had some mystic powers, but at the same time he was very proud and very puffed up, and he wanted to show off before his friends. So what he did is, it was very rude words describing Maharaj Parikshit as a dog, you know, waiting for the remnants of, you know, the king as a dog, the watchdog for the brahmanas. He was cursing him, and he was saying that he's going to die in 7 years being bitten by Tataksha, or the snake bird. So then when he came home, he realized actually what he's done, and he told his father with great regret. And his father was very, very upset. He actually didn't even pay attention to the snake around his shoulders. It's described when his son Sringi comes in, he just kind of brushes the snake off the shoulders and says, "Hey, my son, what's wrong with you? Why are you so upset?" So Sringi tells him the whole story, what has happened. And the sage explains that this was a greatly sinful act, and this will induce the fall down of the caste system and will allow Kali to enter. So it's explained that the Vanashram system actually degraded from the Brahminical order because, you know, initially of the offense of Sringi. And it began by the hatred of the higher classes towards the lower classes, and by, like, resulting from that abuse of power. And so by victimizing Maharaj Parikshit, the protection of the king against Kali Yuga was slackened. So we can see, because of the guidance wasn't there anymore through the higher orders, everything was going downwards. And when irreligion became very prominent, and Maharaj Parikshit, again, he was on a journey to see if everything in his kingdom was right, and he came across a cow and a bull. And the cow is representing the earth, and the bull is representing Dharma. So when he saw the cow and the bull, he saw that there was a Shudra, a low-class man dressed like a king, and he was beating this bull. And the bull was standing on only one leg, which was already shaking. And Srila Prabhupada explains how in the age of Kali, religious principles are attacked and violated, and by low-class men, and how so many cults and isms will come about that. So the legs of the bull represent the four pillars of religion, which is austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and what's austerity? Truthfulness, yeah. So truthfulness is the last little bit on which the bull keeps himself up, but this is also gradually diminishing. And how because of the religious principles deteriorating. Hang on. So it said that because the whole atmosphere of, like, Kali's atmosphere is completely polluting everything in this age. So for people it's very, very easy to just, you know, break the principles, religious principles. There's nothing which stops them anymore because this whole atmosphere is so degraded. So Parikshit is questioning the bull about his situation, and he's asking him, what is actually going on? Why are you in such a miserable condition? And he said how beautiful this bull was. It was, he's described as a white lotus. And he's in such a terrible condition. He's trembling out of fear and is urinating all over himself. His legs are broken and he's been beaten by the Shudra. And Dharma actually, the bull says to him, so many reasons could be there for my situation. And he is explaining so many reasons. It might be providence, it might be the will of the Supreme. He's not just looking at the Shudra who's beating him and says, oh, this is the guy. It was him. But he's understanding that it's actually nothing happens without the will of the Supreme Lord. So he also understands that his situation in the age of Kali is but the will of the Supreme Lord. So he's not blaming anybody, which also shows his elevated consciousness as being Dharma personified. So after this conversation with the bull, Parikshit looks at the Shudra and he's ready to kill him. And the Shudra at once surrenders because he's Kali. So he looks at the king and he surrenders unto him. And Parikshit, being very compassionate, being a great king, he's merciful to him, so he saves him. And Kali was saying to him, well, you saved my life, but what am I going to do? There's nowhere to go for me. Mm-hmm. I can't do any mischief here. Because wherever I go, I will see you with bow and arrow. Where can I hide? And Maharaj Parikshit says, well, there's four places where I allow you to be. This is wherever there's illicit sex, wherever there's meat eating, wherever there's intoxication, and wherever there's gambling. And Kali says, fine, but as long as you're the king, these things will not be anywhere. What can I do about it? And then Maharaj Parikshit says, all right, wherever there's gold, you can be, because all these four principles, all the four religious principles will be broken at these places. So we can see that Kali is flourishing. He has lots of places to be, pretty much everyone, beside of this temple and some others. And you can see that on Kali, our leaders, their Shudras are less, and they're dressed like kings. The leaders of our society, they're so corrupted, and they're misguiding human society because of their bad qualities. Because they're attached to money and all these kind of things. They would do anything for getting it off their citizens. And the citizens, they are under their rule and having no better knowledge because the educational system is not functioning properly anymore. Our educational system, what does it produce? You know, we have... all it does is it makes you be able to function in our society, to produce, to make money. But there's nothing being taught about higher values. Like even, is it in America that religion is not allowed to be taught at school? There was a country where like religion is not allowed to be taught at school. And there's no philosophical or religious education anymore. Nobody tells you anymore how to live properly. You know, people are not even educated how to clean their body. You know, people are not educated anymore what to eat. There's no education anymore at all. So, the verse was about sacrifice, and in this day, because we have been, the age is very degraded and we have degraded ourselves a lot as well. So when we hear the alarm early in the morning, maybe at 4 o'clock, we think, oh my gosh, what a sacrifice to get up. How horrible. such an austerity. And, we will pick up our beep and it's like, oh my gosh, I got to concentrate for, 1.5 or 2 hours. This is like inhuman. Impossible. But I have to do the sacrifice because I somehow have committed an initiation. What is our standard? If you look at austerity has been performed in previous ages, I was just mentioning like the Prachetas, being under the ocean for 10,000 years. And Wasn't it Vishwamrita Muni who was meditating for 60,000 years? He's like, he basically locked all his senses inwards. Well, then he got disturbed by Menaka. But like, he was like, for 60,000 years he was sitting there in meditation, withdrawn every single sense, totally blocked from the environment. So, I mean, what kind of great sacrifice is this to get up early in the morning? It's really a nothing. We should really see it as a nothing. And also, what we can think about is, we get so much for that little bit we give. You know, we might make some garlands, we, you know, might do our chanting, we might serve our guru, we might do some reading. But you know, the ultimate goal is to give back to the spiritual world, which has been attained in different yugas through such intense austerity and sacrifice. So the Lord knows how fallen our age is, and He knows how weak our minds are, how lazy our minds are, and how addicted we are to sense gratification. So it makes it so incredibly easy for us to attain the highest goal. And we should be very grateful for it. We should acknowledge where we are at. We should acknowledge how we've degraded ourselves so badly that we have to take birth again in Kali Yuga in such circumstances. And also, we should be feeling very grateful. I was talking one time to Burijan Prabhu, and he was saying that instead of condemning myself for my faults, that I should just develop humility. And that is, I was thinking about it a lot, and that is such an amazing instruction, actually, because that means that we first of all acknowledge ourselves as not being the paramahansas we might think when we first come along, but that we have so many faults. But at the same time, we should develop the sincerity and the desire to give up our faults. Not just lamenting, oh, I can't do anything, I'm so fallen, I'm this and that. No, but like, we got to be practical about it. I have this fault, what am I going to do about it? Now, how can we change it? How can we overcome it? And we should do that with humility. Should look at ourselves and see, oh, I have all these faults. And this is just my situation. But I'm going to serve my guru, I'm going to serve Krishna, and I'm going to follow the process, because this is how I can come to a different level. So, when we feel very grateful, then we usually want to give back. So with humility, we can feel very grateful to those who have helped us, to those who saved us and brought us to the, you know, spiritual path and are guiding it on us. So we can give back to them. But first of all, following ourselves, and also by giving it to others. So Srila Prabhupada is speaking in this purport how the most important sacrifice is Krishna's sankirtan, and that one should not dry up by performing unauthorized austerities or sacrifices. Rather, one should engage his all enthusiasm in the great sacrifice of Sri Krishna's sankirtan, which enables one to easily achieve the highest perfection of human life. So, sankirtan is so amazing because it helps us and it helps others. We were yesterday, we had a couple of contacts with us. They were coming to the ashram, and we were taking the harmonium and the medanga and the cardals, and we're going towards the botanical gardens, and we met another two people there. And we were just sitting down on the grass and having some kirtan there. And so many people were passing and looking and hearing the holy name, and the people we had with us, they were chanting with us and having a good time. And when we were driving back in the tram, Bernadette had the harmonium on her lap, and one of our friends, she was started to play medanga a little bit. So we actually had a kirtan in the tram. And we got so much nice response, like the people were all looking and smiling, and some were kind of just showing interest what we're actually doing. So it's very joyful, and it keeps us fresh, and it keeps us enthusiastic. And it also, of course, is some sacrifice, because everybody knows that, you know, preaching and cultivation requires, you know, gotta get out of your comfort zone and, you know, think first of the other person before you think of yourself. and what you talk and what you do. So, yeah, and we'll bring more devotees in here, and our community will grow, and we'll have more people to have loving exchanges with. Yeah, so that's pretty much all I wanted to say. Anybody has some comments or questions? Adjustments? Yes, sir? Yeah, everything shrinks. Not all greed, though. No, false. So what was your realization about it? Yeah. It's explained in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam how was it like cows will look like goats and humans will look like dwarfs. Does anybody know, because now these days it looks like everybody is growing. Does anybody know what is that is caused by? Because people were thinking like it said that we are shrinking, it said that we are dying earlier, but now it's said that, you know, we live longer and we are actually growing. Anybody have a comment about that? About the what?
The longevity,
the lifespan. Oh yeah. Thinking about lifespan? Yeah, and also height, like, you know, if you look for example at Asians, I think in like two generations they grew like an average 10 centimeters. So in China they have problems with the houses because the doors are too short for the people because they've grown so much apparently. Yeah, like it's blown up vegetables.
In Chinese long time they didn't drink milk, but if you can see the Chinese out of their tradition, you know, in Australia, it seems to have told Chinese out of the grass. As a nation, they should be more so, they change their food, they change habits.
Yeah. Maybe also because of radiation and stuff like that can be. I heard about lifespan actually, that, you know, first of all, when I was studying psychology, they were saying that what they have extended these days is not the lifespan in itself, but they have expanded the time, the period of old age and disease. Because people don't live any, like, we are younger for longer. It's not that we are younger for longer. But the body just gets old and diseased and just gets maintained in that period of time. So because, you know, now we have things to keep people alive. So like basically they extend the suffering. And another thing was what I was hearing was that if people would include in the death rate all the abortions, then it will actually show that our lifespan has reduced so much. I think that I can't remember the numbers, but in America, in 1 year, there's I think two dozen or something like million abortions. There's like millions of abortions in just 1 year, only in the USA. So if we would include these numbers, then we would see that people actually don't live that long. Yes.
The pharmacological industry is so strong, they have so much money treating the symptoms, So they keep going on and on, and they don't actually have interest in healing the people.
No, true.
And it's symptomatic. I'm doubtful about that. Longevity, because we had one patient that was from the booster. I don't know what's happening. I'm opening the newspapers. Everyone is dying 50, 60 years. When I was younger, everyone was dying 80, 90.
Okay.
That's what you were saying.
Maybe another conspiracy. Yes, probably.
I think it's just in the past 100 years or so, with all the material technological advancement, that there'd be like an increase in like a brief sort of you know, with all the drugs and the you know, like you're saying, and can prolong the whole age and things like that. And,
yeah, well, in previous ages, yeah.
It's just been the past 100 years or so that all the advancement has been able to prolong life and all that.
And I think, like Saurabh Shakti was saying, that in Botswana, the average lifespan is actually crazy. She was saying it's 36 years. Because it includes so many infants dying as well. But, well, these times will come as well here. Now we might have like a boon where we have, you know, a lot of food for everyone and we have medical stuff for everyone, but the times will change very quickly. But, you know, people won't be able to pay for it anymore and people won't be able to maintain themselves. There won't be any nutritious food anymore, nothing. And people will be so irregulated, as Shri Prabhupada explained, this one purpose, that people's life has been reduced by their irregulation. So it will certainly increase. Maybe we have like a little bit of a high now, but it will go down. And then compared, I mean, with 100,000 years, like what is 100 years? Anyway, so it's massively reduced.
That's why we have to be most grateful to Srila Prabhupada. He has given most of the credit in the authentic process, how we go back to God.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Kijai. Right, so all glories to the Sankirtan movement. Shri Prabhupada ki.